Today's episode is brought to you by Musical Theater Radio's merch store. Looking for that perfect gift for someone or just want to treat yourself to some great musical theater themed merch? Head to musicaltheaterradio.com and click on the All Things Theater button on the homepage and check out all the different designs available. And now, today's interview. Welcome back to another episode of Be Our Guest here on Musical Radio. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. Today is another Discover a New Musical edition where you, the listener, and me, the host, get to learn about a new show together. Question for all you listeners. On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you rate your temptation to look at Medusa if she was in the room with you? That is the question posed by Anthony Zioni from his musical The Vicious Serpent's Wit, and the single The Temptation to Look at Medusa was released on December 8th of 2023. So let's delve a little deeper into the world of Anthony and The Vicious Serpent Wit by welcoming him to the show. Anthony, hello.
Hey. Thank you. Thank you for that amazing introduction.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So before we get into the show, I always like to ask our guests for their 30-second bio. So my question is, who is Anthony in 30 seconds?
Okay, that's a great question. Anthony is a lover of the dark arts. He's a storyteller, enthusiastic. He loves musical theater. He loves creating worlds and stories. He's very interested in archetypes and emotions and facial expressions and everything that kind of spooks you and gives you chills down your spine.
Nice. So my question is, were you always in a musical theater growing up, or is that something you discovered a little bit later in life?
So I think it started with my love for Disney movies, the original, like, old animation Disney films, like the first ones, like Snow White, Peter Pan, Pinocchio. That was kind of, I think that really set the tone for what I like. And then it developed into Tim Burton movies, The Nightmare Before Christmas and Corpse Bride, and kind of went into musical theater from there, like live performances that really caught my eye and made me feel a lot of things that hopefully I can make people feel as well, you know.
Are you just a writer, or did you perform as well?
Yeah, I've performed some of my work. My recent work, not yet. It hasn't been performed. This project has been in development for quite a while. The character development, the costumes, the world. I'm very excited to share it.
Cool. Well, let's jump right in. The Vicious Serpent's Wit. Tell us a little bit about what that is. What is the synopsis of this show?
Okay. So the theme of all this show is great villainy from mythology and history. So I've collected some very interesting characters that are known to almost everyone, and I created this world that I go between worlds with those characters, kind of like transporting through time and space and stories in each song that we go through.
What was the impetus for writing it? What made you go, I gotta do this?
That's a great question. So it started off with me, with my like ADHD and like hard to concentrate. I'm always like, oh, I need to jump from this and jump for that. And when I listen to like a song or a soundtrack, I'm like, I want something new. I want like to be in a different place. I want to hear a different sound. So it started off of the idea of creating this album that each song is a different genre. And in the musical, it is each song is like a different vibe, but it's all like very dark. So that's kind of what sparked it. I was like, you know, you listen sometimes to like a song and you're like, I want something completely different, like next.
Yeah.
So that's how I got
it. Cool. That's how you came up with it. How long ago did you come up with the idea?
Wow. That was like maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. It's been in a deep development and I've been working with some amazing people on the music production side as well, on the soundscapes, which is kind of amazing to create those worlds, you know, like being able to bring sound and put an idea into people's mind without even saying a lot of things. Like, you just build a character, you build a voice, you build a tone, and people like are transporting to this world, even if they don't visually see it. And hopefully with the production, it'll be like even more, you know, there, and people could connect to it on a way deeper level.
You mentioned villains. What was the first one that came into your mind when you started to write this?
So there's actually a few victims in it as well. Yeah. So in my mind, and I think it's probably known, what makes a villain like even scarier and greater is his like opponent, the person he's like fighting, the hero, right? So that what makes the villain like scarier and like more intimidating. So some songs are victim oriented. And the first song that came to me, I actually started like playing this chord progression on the guitar, and this just downloaded these lyrics, and they were about the fall of man after he's been seduced by the serpent in the Garden of Eden. So it's the fall of man, of, you know, being need to work the land for, you know, all their lives, and being kicked out of the Garden of Eden, and the father is, you know, mad at their son. And that's kind of like also that's the second tune in the play. The first one is the serpent in the Garden of Eden, and we got this like storyteller cloak individual figure that kind of tells the story and puts people in the perspective of like they are in the Garden of Eden and they're being seduced. And that's kind of the theme of the whole play, is temptation and darkness and the shadow side of stories. And it's interesting because that's like the first horror stories in history recorded, like the garden snake in the Garden of Eden, and the, you know, all this like collective story is like ingrained in ourselves.
Did you write the book, music, and lyrics for the show?
I did, yeah.
Nice. And what's your process for writing? When I know when I write, because I also do that same thing. What's your process? Does the book come first? Does a song come first? And then you fit it in, the lyrics, the music? What's your process?
So my process usually comes with the lyrics first. Usually I download for some, you know, higher source these lyrics, and then it comes into a song, comes in with like a melody, and after that bring in the chords, the music production, and then kind of it develops an idea in my mind, and I let it sit there and let the fruit grow in my mind, where, you know, where it takes me, where I would like to explore the story in a vast space.
When you were writing the songs, was there one, I always like to ask, was there one that just flowed out of you, just came so easy? And then was there another one or two that you went, I don't know where I'm going with this, and just took you forever?
Definitely. The first song that is called The Vicious Serpent Wit as well, is the one that kind of like just went into it, like the writing, the production. And it's also the one that I feel like represents the story as a whole. And yeah, that was the one that came kind of easy. And the production side as well is pretty, like, there's not a lot of things going on. It's pretty simple. There's like a piano, there's some flute, but it's all very heavy and like dark. And it's like taking you in, it's pulling you in. So that was the one that kind of came a little bit easier. And then there was another song that is a victim song, that's actually a poem that a little girl in the Holocaust wrote. when she was in Terezin concentration camp. And I took this poem that was in this book called I've Never Seen Another Butterfly. And it's this book, this amazing book that is full of poems and drawings of kids who were in Terezin concentration camp that most of them didn't survive the Holocaust. So I took this poem and created this song to it. And I had this amazing female vocalist, Jan Peretz, that would sing this song. And she's also Jewish, so it kind of connects everything together. And that was a little bit challenging because I really wanted to connect to that moment, you know, and to that character. So I delved into the research more of like on the Holocaust and that time and that place and kind of the history of that girl that was there. And so that was kind of challenging because I really wanted it to be precise and meaningful and deep, you know. I'm excited about it.
when you're writing, do you write for yourself or do you write for others?
That's a great question. I think I write for as like I think I see it as a, like a collective. Like I try to tap into something, into like a moment in time or a story, and make it as pinpointed as possible to that story or moment that it's happening, or it's, you know, something that I developed in my mind. So it's like as clear as, I don't know if that answered the question, but like, I think it's to the world as like, not even to like myself and, or another person kind of thing. Does that make sense? Is that?
Yeah. And when you have somebody else singing your work, do you ever, when you listen to it, you sometimes go, wow, they're finding something that I didn't see there. Is there a song that you've recorded?
Yeah, definitely. When other people sing my creations, or like we collaborate and we write something together, or we produce, you know, something together, I see it differently. I could like be absorbent on the side and be like, oh, this is really beautiful. You know, when it's just me like doing everything, I'm like, ah, you know, it's kind of hard to like be a judge from the side. So it's something magical happens when I hear someone sing my lyrics, you know, or something that we wrote together, or something that someone else wrote, and I just put it into melody and she sang it. Yeah, there's something very powerful in that.
It's so incredible. I've been there. I've done that. I've, you know, you hear it in your head and you hear it one way and you think, oh, this is the way it's got to be. And then you hear somebody else do it and you go, wow, okay, I didn't think of that. How did they do that? And it's incredible what's discovered. I love those moments.
That's amazing that you experienced that too. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. It's crazy. The temptation to look at Medusa, that's the single that got released on December 8th. Tell us a little bit about that song and you know, the process of writing it and just a little bit about it and why it was released as the single, the first one.
Sure. So should I tell a little bit about the story of Medusa for whoever wants to hear it? Okay. So Medusa was a beautiful woman that every man could not take his eyes off of her. And she was a high priest in the temple of Athena, and she was dedicated wholeheartedly to her goddess Athena, goddess of war and wisdom. And she was tempted by a lot of men to you know, be seduced and feed into her, like her temptations to be with men. But she was supposed to be celibate, and she was. But one day Poseidon, king of the sea, saw her. And he tried to pursue her, and she didn't let him. Like, she was strong with Athena. She stayed loyal. But he took really offense of it. And one night he came to Athena's temple and raped Medusa and desecrated the temple. And Athena came afterwards and was really disappointed with Medusa. She was She didn't like that. She thought that she had a part of it, like that was her fault. So she cursed her and turned her into a hideous monster that would have snakes as hair and the gaze that will turn any man into stone. So that was kind of like the story of it. And she went into this, they say that she went into, like, you know, caves and solitude, and nobody saw her, and whoever tried to see her, you know, turn into stone. And she has a whole garden of people that are that are stone in her cave. So that's kind of like the backstory, the ancient myth. And Medusa was a figure to be feared at in ancient Greece. Even the warriors had Medusa's head on their shields to frighten their opponents. And a lot of the time when you see Athena, her figure, when she has her shield, there's a head of Medusa on the shield. So it's a sign of warning. It's a sign of also a moral lesson. I feel like I took it in a place that is a moral lesson of, you know, every day's temptation, that we see a beautiful person and maybe we're driven by lust to look at this person, you know, a primal instinct that all human have. So I kind of took this psychological moment that we all know and brought in the temptress archetype, which is Medusa, very known character, and put people in that position that they like, that like, I'm here, I'm this is a temptation, like, are you gonna feed into it? Yeah, so it's very inspired by the orchestration and the character build, very inspired by original, like, old Disney villains characters, like Ursula is a big inspiration, and Mr. Oogie Boogie from The Nightmare Before Christmas. Those have been.
I was gonna say, I'm glad you told us the front part, because we all know once she becomes, you know, Medusa, the character we all know, but I didn't know that front part, you know, about the Poseidon and Athena and all that sort of thing. So thank you. For, you know, there are so many stories that we only know parts of, and we think we know, but, you know, I'm glad that you told us this, and I'm very curious about how this song and show is gonna go. What have you done with it? Where's the production history of it? What have you done with it so far?
With the music production side?
Yeah, the musical itself.
So it's been in development in the character side and the music production side. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of going, so the songs are built, right? The songs are ready. Now we're working on the show itself, the parts that are in between the stories or the songs, that like telling storytelling and like soundscapes and characters, like having an interaction that is connected to these stories, and how we transport the audience into a different realm, into a different world through sound and visuals and different characters, different costumes. So right now it's very in development, but I think it's going to come out around June, July.
Nice.
We're estimating.
Is there a venue you're looking at or anything like that? Or
there are a few venues that we're looking at. Hopefully we can get a place that we can, like, maybe do it, like, you know, a few weeks in a row, or travel around, you know, that kind of thing.
Very cool. Well, you'll have to keep us informed, because we'll help promote the heck out of it and let
people. Oh, thank you. That would be amazing.
Yeah, because I love finding new works. I think we were talking beforehand. I just love supporting new works. And if I can do my little part to get the word out there and just get a few bums, even if it's just one bum in a seat to see the show, you never know who that is and who they might see and who might they let know about it, etc. So yeah, anything I can do, you just let us know.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
So are you working on anything else? I'm always curious. Is there something you got this show, but are you working on anything else you want to promote?
Yeah, sure. I'm working on another show that is in a lower stage of development, but it's connected to the next song that I'll be releasing, and it's actually a character in that Vicious Serpent's Wit world. So it's kind of like intertwining worlds that are connected in a way.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what your next single is going to be? Can you say, are you allowed to say what the next release might be?
Yeah, I'll give a little spoiler for whoever is for whoever is here. It's called The Gesture of Love, and it's based on a medieval fool who is a poor fool, and he's driven by love, and he's getting hurt a lot by his loved ones, and he's a whimsical, like fairy tale like character, kind of like connecting the fantasy and the history of medieval Renaissance times. Yeah, so I'm very excited to share this song, and hopefully it's gonna come out for Valentine's Day and kind of bring a melancholic love into that into that realm for whoever, you know, it doesn't have maybe a Valentine's for that time, or you know, thinks about like lost love.
Yeah, nice. So, how can people learn more about you? Is there websites or social media or anything like that to learn about you?
Yeah, so right now I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, have a YouTube channel. I'm gonna put more content there in the next few weeks. And yeah, those are the main platforms I'm in. I would say Instagram is like the main one that I post the most
Okay.
and
And
have like the most engagement. What's that
what's your
handle?
handle for
It's Anthony Zioni.
it? Okay. Do you want to
Yeah.
spell that? Because people might not
Yeah,
be.
sure. It's Antony and then Zioni.
Very cool. Well, you know what? Thank you so much for you reached out to me and introduced yourself, and I'm glad you did because like I said, I love discovering new works. So congratulations on what you've done and where it's going. And the single sounds great. We've added it to the rotation of the station,
Thank
so
you. I
it'll get.
really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. Thank you.
No problem. Now, before I go, I do have a question. It's kind of a little bonus question.
Yeah.
Which villain do you think is most misunderstood? Out of all the villains that you've written about, which one do you think goes, you know what, they're getting a bum rap here?
I feel like a lot of them, but that's a great question. If I had to choose one, I think Medusa's actually kind of a tragic story, you know, because she didn't really do anything wrong. She did the best she could. She dedicated herself, her body, her everything to Athena, and she was upset with her. Some say that she was jealous of her before that, because how would the high priest would be more beautiful than the goddess herself? You know, people would go there to see Medusa more than to praise Athena. So some say that there were jealousy there. And I think she is one of the most misunderstood villains that I wrote about so far. And kind of in the song, if you listen to it, you could hear that the first verse, she's kind of singing about her venomous thoughts. Like, she's actually a victim in this part, and she has a victim side, and that kind of what turned her into a villain. Because you can like choose in life, you know, you if you're having like a hard life, you could choose to go and be evil, or you could choose to go and bring light and do amazing stuff to people.
That's a great answer. Thank you.
Of course.
Awesome. Again, yeah, thank you for coming on and talking to us and introducing the world and all the best. We'll keep in touch and yeah, look forward to seeing where everything goes.
Thank you.
Awesome. We were just speaking with Anthony Zioni, the creator of the musical The Vicious Serpent's Wit. Look for that in the future. And you can also look for the song that's already been released, The Temptation to Look at Medusa. And also watch for that next song coming out. Maybe February of 2024. All right. Tune in next week as we'll speak with another guest or guests about their life, love, and passion that is musical theater. I am your host, as always, Jean-Paul Yovanoff. And until next time, I'll see you when I see you.